good morning. We want to welcome all of you today on this Father's Day Sunday, and we're so glad that you're with us. And once again, we are grateful and thankful that we are able to gather together and join in and sing and pray and hear God's word and receive of God's grace in so many different ways. A little bit later on, we'll be talking about as you happen to grab the sermon outline this morning, discouragement, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that. But we do want to welcome you, and we want to welcome those that will be listening online later on. And so as we begin, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Let's join together for our call to worship found in the bulletin. Come and give thanks to our God.
We sing praises to God's holy name.
With songs in our hearts,
we declare God's steadfast love in the morning and faithfulness at night.
Your works are great, O God.
We sing our praises to you, O God.
Well, let's join together, and we can turn in our hymn books if you'd like to hymn number 73, This Is My Father's World, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. This is my father. Join together there and for our opening prayer. Creator God, maker of all that is beautiful, in this time of worship, may we be more aware of your grace in our lives and world. May we see your grace in each other, hear it in the music, and experience it as we worship. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. We want to take just a few moments, like we often do, to honor our fathers this morning. And I was thinking a little bit about that this week. And I don't know if you have noticed something that's been happening in the last few years, which I never heard much of in the past, but it's almost becoming a joke in and of itself, and that is you hear people more often talk about dad jokes, that jokes that dads have the tendency to share, you know, to make people laugh. And I guess it's just a humorous way that society and our culture can kind of laugh along with it because they've experienced it in their lives, and maybe you have. So technically, dad jokes are one-line jokes, usually about something, you know, that's going on in life. So I thought, just to kind of, like I do sometimes, share something funny with Mother's Day and Father's Day, I'm going to share with you some dad jokes this morning. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? There's great food, but no atmosphere. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. How many apples grow on a tree? All of them. Somebody said the answer, didn't they? See, somebody's heard dad jokes before. Yeah. What do you call cheese that isn't yours? There you go. Nacho cheese. Yeah. And what did the grape do when he got stepped on? He let out a little wine. Oh, I thought I would share a few of those this morning. You know, it's funny because we kind of laugh about those, but we do appreciate all of our dads, our fathers. For many of us, our fathers are not with us anymore. Some of us may have, many more especially, have lost grandfathers. And but those of you that still have your fathers with you, you are truly blessed to be able to have them. I will say something. I'll call my sister once in a while and I'll say, boy, I was going through this week, and there was two times this week I almost grabbed the phone wanting to get on and call my dad and tell him about something that was going on and talk to him about something that was going on. And I can't do that anymore, and I miss that. And I'm sure that's a familiar feeling for some of you. And but we do want to take just a moment to say thank you to all of our fathers and grandfathers, and what you mean to your families and to the church too. And so we're going to invite all of our dads and granddads and great-granddads and a few great-great-granddads. If you will just stand up this morning, and we want to just take a moment just to honor you, and then I want to say a prayer here in just a minute. So if you would, yes, all of you stand up. Appreciate it. And so let's pray real quickly this morning. Gracious God, thank you for each of our fathers, dads, that are with us today. Thank you for their lives, and thank you for their hard work, and thank you for what they do in and for your work, O God, and for even for our world in so many different ways and communities. Ask your blessing upon them, and continue to watch over them and keep them in your care as we extend our blessing and grace to them today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. And you may be seated this morning. We want to take a moment or two here to go to the... Oh, wait a minute. I guess I almost went to a prayer. I got to invite our kids. Come on down. I almost forgot. We only have
Here they come. All right. Well, I guess there was more light in there than I thought. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. And here comes the rest of them. Come on, ladies. Here they come. So are you doing anything special for your dad today? Ooh, I always like one of my favorite places. Yes, yeah. Anybody else doing anything special? No? Well, some of you may not even know what might be going on yet. Or maybe Dad will just go home and cook out on the grill? Yeah. I remember when I was growing up, my dad, they would always have a big chicken barbecue. And so my whole dad's side of the family would come, and we'd all be everywhere playing games and stuff like that. And I would see my dad and my Uncle Orville and my Uncle Thurm, and they'd all be working on the grills, cooking chicken barbecue. And then we would eat, and we'd play games and badminton and lawn darts. Anybody know what lawn darts are? I bet you some of you even did, what's the other one? Where you hit the ball? Croquet, yes, there you go. Croquet. Has anybody ever played croquet? Where you take this thing and you hit the ball, and it's got to go through this little wire thing, and you got to get it through there? Yeah, that's fun. Lawn darts, so they look like big giant darts, and there's a ring down on the other end, and you flick it up in the air, and you try to, like cornhole, except you're trying to get these lawn darts in circles to go in and get points that way. Yeah, so it's just lots of fun and different things that we can do. Now,
let me switch that real quick. I forgot. I want you to see something here.
You see that? What's that guy doing up there? What's it look like? What's he doing up there? He's hanging. Is he trying to climb it? Or does it look like he's going to fall? Now, when you guys get downstairs, you're going to miss the picture, but when I do the sermon, I'll show a different picture, and you'll find out he's hanging like on a limb off of a cliff, and it goes way down far. Now, so has anybody ever climbed a tree? Have you ever swung on a branch and tried to jump out?
That's my worst fear.
That's your worst fear? Now, I tell you what, when we would do it, the fun part was trying to jump out and see how high we could jump out without getting hurt. Thankfully, I never broke anything. I'll just leave it at that. But sometimes when we go through life, and sometimes for kids, we don't maybe experience it as much because we just have fun and go on our merry way. But as you get older sometimes, you can get discouraged. And sometimes as adults, we feel like we're just kind of hanging on in life. And there's a guy in the Bible, his name is Elijah. And he is really scared of Queen Jezebel, who's out to get him. Now, could you imagine if you lived in a country and the queen was out to get you? That probably would not be a very good thing. So he was running away to get away from her. And while he was running away, he finally sat down to rest somewhere. And he was so discouraged. And God sent an angel that told him to sleep and eat. And you know what? Sometimes when we're tired, we need to do the things that keep us going. And that's eating and sleeping, isn't it? Because we need our rest and we've got to eat. And so that we can keep going. Because God always wants us to keep going. Even if we get tired. Even if we get worn out. Or maybe somebody at school's been bugging us and tormenting us all the time and it's getting hard. Just remember, God cares and God loves us.
Now we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share before we go to prayer this morning. Somebody.
Last night was a relay for life. We had great weather. There were quite a few walkers and everything. And the original goal that they set back in March was 50,000. When they gave the total that they had raised during the closing ceremonies last night, the total was $72,168.
That's wonderful. Yes, yes. That is wonderful. And kind of give an update what we've given so far in this giving season.
For just give the whole total because I know how much we brought in from our fundraiser that we had last night. Our total between the caramels and the cook-off and the luminaries and the little bit that we raised last night was $4,025.88.
There we go. Yes. So thank you so much for that. And that's a cause that we have given ever since I've been here. We've always given to Relay for Life and for cancer research and trying to stomp that out, plus all the support and the treatments and the different ways that the Cancer Society helps out sometimes when people's insurance and other things don't always cover everything. So we're very grateful for all of that. So I saw several other hands. So who else was there? Good.
Please pray for Ellie. She's got blood clots in her other leg, and she's in a lot of pain. And also pray for Trevor. Last night, his tractor threw him all through the cage. So I don't know how he is.
Okay, so we want to remember Ellie, she has, and I remember when she first went in the hospital with her first leg with the blood clots, they were concerned about her other leg, and now she's having issues with that, so she definitely needs God's healing touch as she's on a special medication to do that, and definitely want to pray that that medication works and breaks those up. And then we want to remember Trevor and for God's healing strength for him. I saw a couple other hands. Go ahead, Linda.
Just wanted to thank everybody for continuing prayers. We give me and Emily for Dr. Sarah. We give me and surgery date.
Okay. And so we want to continue praying for Greg. I'll talk more to you about that after the service, but yeah.
Go. I have two problems. First, I'm not going to do regular care. Now, she's married, Janet Foster's daughter, and her grandmother, and she has bilateral mastectomy tomorrow because she has that gene that they have to take care of. And the other one, that we want to pray for is Bill Wilkins. But Jimmy Marlowe asked us to pray for Katie Macy. She has a stomach disorder. And also the family of Rebecca Glandy, the mother that was 54 years old that died on Sunday.
Is what?
She's 54 years old.
Okay.
Girardi.
Okay, so hold on a minute here. You were skipping through so fast. What is the last name of the family that lost their loved one?
Girardi.
Okay.
Girardi.
Girardi. Okay. So we want to remember the Girardi family. And with the loss of that loved one, we want to remember Katie with his stomach disorder. We want to remember Bill for healing there for the bed sore. And Megan, who's having surgery, correct?
She's
having
the surgery.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so we want to remember Megan then also. Someone else. Yeah.
My father-in-law, Dick, he had his first chemo treatment on Friday. So he's pretty little already. So he's doing the IV for like 4 or 5 hours, 7 years. So
yes.
He's got another one coming in, I think, the second week of July.
If you would, maybe fill out one of the prayer slips and give it to me. We'll put him on the monthly because we're definitely going to have to continue praying for him while he's going through all that. And for Dick this morning with the chemo treatments for healing and strength. Someone else. Yeah.
Family was not able to have the radiation treatment.
Okay. Okay. Well, we can definitely continue praying for her healing, yes. And she may be one that we might want to put on the monthly too, yeah. And get it to me today because I've already started working on that if you want to get it in July's prayer list, so yeah. So we want to remember Mandy this morning for healing. Someone else, yeah. Yes, so we want to remember the Allen family. Appreciate your prayers for them. Anybody else? Yeah.
Last Sunday, I found out that my cousin Carol's husband, Rob Hess, passed away.
Okay, what is the last name of that?
Hess, H-E-S-S.
What was it? Hess? Okay. So we want to remember the Hess family with the loss of that loved one. Someone else? Anybody else this morning? Yes. And I saw her this week again. And she said she's making little steps, little by little. And she said she'll be having a doctor's appointment coming up here. And hopefully she'll be able to be authorized to put more pressure on her leg and everything. But we want to continue remembering Kay. And we want to continue remembering Greg, as was mentioned earlier. And we want to continue praying for Gerald, who's having surgery. Is it this week or the following week? The following week. So, and yes. Anybody else then before we go to prayer? Well, if you happen to remember some of these names as she plays this morning, we'll just invite you there quietly at your seat to lift up some of those names to the Lord, and then I'll come and close us out. As we pause today to lift up those that have been mentioned in prayer, we want to just thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love that you pour into our lives. And we're thankful that we have that opportunity to be able to come before you and lift up our needs and lift up the needs of others. That we know and that are friends and family and loved ones, acquaintances, Lord, that we can stand in the gap for them and bring them before you. And Lord, we do that today with the names of those that have been mentioned. Lord, we lift up Ellie to you today that just needs another miracle, and we just pray for your healing touch in her body. Lord, with the blood clot medicine that is flowing through her right now, we just ask for that your touch would be there and the medicine would help to break up those clots and give her freedom there, Lord, and bring healing. We pray for Trevor, Lord, that your strength will be with him and your touch will be with him. We pray for Megan as she's going to be going in for surgery. Lord, we ask your guidance and your healing touch and strength for her in the weeks and months to come, Lord. We lift up Bill to you, Lord, asking for your healing touch for this bed sore that he has been battling again, and we just ask your healing grace there. We pray for Katie this morning, lifting her up, asking for your touch in her stomach, and we just speak your peace to her today, Lord, and God, that you would grant grace to her in the midst of everything she may be facing in life. Lord, we lift up Dick to you, asking for your healing touch and strength as he's going through chemo treatments. Lord, we lift up Kay to you, God, asking for your continued healing and strength for her. And as she goes through therapy, we lift up Greg, Lord, trusting you that for the surgery that will be coming up and everything that will be happening there, that God, you will continue to make a way and bring healing there. We lift up Gerald, who's going to be going in for surgery here in a couple weeks. As we lifted him up last week, we again pray, Lord, for your touch and that you would be with them. And Lord, we lift up Mandy to you, God, that needs this healing touch today. Lord, that your grace would be extended to her. And Lord, that somehow you would be able to work all that out for this treatment to be able to happen. Lord, we lift up the families that have been mentioned that lost loved ones. We think of the Hess family today, the Allen family, the Girardi family, God. We just pray for your grace, your peace, your comfort today in the midst of all this and loss, and that you would minister as only you can do. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we do have to be able to come and worship together. We're grateful and thankful. We're thankful that when two or three are gathered in your name, you are here with us in the midst. And we ask that you would extend your grace and your blessing into the rest of this time of our service, Lord, as we break the bread of your word. May you encourage us and feed us and strengthen us and challenge us to go forth and be the people that you want us to be. And Lord, we just pray your continued blessing over our nation. God, in the midst of some trying times, Lord, with everything that's going on, that you would help us to be people of faith in the midst of all of this, and to trust you and to look to you. And we just ask your continued guidance and wisdom and leading for our leaders across our nation, our states, our communities, and locally, God, here even in our own communities, Lord. And continue to bless as we pray and ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today, and we want to thank you for your faithfulness, and we know that God is the one that provides as we work hard and trust and look to Him. And so as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. Join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. You are exceedingly generous to us, O God. We return a portion to you. Bless it that it may nurture seeds of hope and healing. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 1 through 16. It's our lectionary reading, the Old Testament lectionary reading for today. And you can follow along there on the PowerPoint. Hopefully you'll be able to see it okay. Ahab told his wife Jezebel what Elijah had done, and that he had killed the prophets. She sent a message to Elijah, "You killed my prophets, now I'm going to kill you. I pray that the gods will punish me even more severely if I don't do it by this time tomorrow." Elijah was afraid when he got her message, and he ran to the town of Bathsheba in Judah. He left his servant there, then walked another whole day into the desert. Finally, he came to a large bush and sat down in its shade. He begged the Lord, "I've had enough. Just let me die. I'm no better off than my ancestors." Then he laid down in the shade and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel woke him up and said, "Get up and eat. Elijah, look around." And by his head was a jar of water and some baked bread. He sat up, ate and drank. And then he laid down and went back to sleep. Soon the Lord's angel woke him up again and said, "Get up and eat, or else you'll get too tired to travel." So Elijah sat up and ate and drank. The food and water made him strong enough to walk 40 more days. At last he reached Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, and he spent the night there in a cave. And while Elijah was on Mount Sinai, the Lord asked him, "Elijah, why are you here?" He answered, "Lord God, all powerful, I've always done my best to obey you, but your people have broken their solemn promise to you. They have torn down your altars and killed all your prophets except me, and now they are even trying to kill me." "Go out and stand on the mountain," the Lord replied. "I want you to be there when I pass by." All at once, a strong wind shook the mountain and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. Next, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Finally, there was a gentle breeze. And when Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his coat. He went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. A voice asked, "Elijah, why are you here?" Elijah answered, "Lord God, all powerful, I've always done my best to obey you, but your people have broken their solemn promise to you. They have torn down your altars and killed all your prophets except me. And now they're even trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Elijah, you can go back to the desert near Damascus. And when you get there, appoint Hazael to be king of Syria. Then appoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat, to take your place as my prophet." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God will bless the reading of the word to our hearts today, and that God will give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, a dad and three of his dad buddies decided that they were going to go on vacation together. And the one dad was a real safety first kind of a guy. And while they were on vacation, some of his dad buddies talked the one dad, who was this safety guy first, into going parasailing. Well, he was on the back of the boat getting ready, the safety dad was, getting hooked in to the parachute, when he nervously asked the pilot, "How often do you replace the rope?" And the pilot said, "Every time it breaks." I thought I would share that one with you this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about hope for discouragement. Hope for discouragement. So as you're looking up at the picture there this morning, and it's kind of hard to see real clear, but down below is this mountainous region, and there's a town down below. So you can kind of see he's kind of hanging off on this branch off the cliff there. And my question this morning is, have you ever felt like you were hanging by a thread, which is a common expression, or in this case, hanging by a branch in your life? It's safe to say that all of us have had those seasons in life, the ones crowded with overwhelming emotions that sway back and forth within days and hours and sometimes even minutes because of something we're facing in our lives. Up to this point in the story, if we would have read previous chapters in the book of Kings there, Elijah was a prophet of God who was sent out to deal with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel of Israel, who were leading Israel astray with foreign deities, getting them to try to worship foreign deities. And God had called Elijah to speak out against that. And he began by speaking out against that. And over a season and period of time, God granted Elijah great success in what he was doing. And many people began to turn and follow the Lord once again. But King Ahab and Queen Jezebel had a different way of thinking. They were going astray in the midst of all of this. And now Elijah gets a threat from Queen Jezebel. And he's fearful. And he's on the run. And as you read through the story, having this conversation with God, you can see that he's not only extremely fatigued and discouraged about everything that's going on, but he has got this discouragement has began to affect the way he thinks, to where he thinks he's the only one left that's serving God. And out of this, he gets discouragement begins to fill his heart. And no matter what we want to call it, depression, discouragement, or whatever, Elijah begins to lose his joy of life. Have you ever been there before? And I want us to just look at this real quickly this morning. This crisis that Elijah was facing, and see if we can see hope in the midst of his situation. And I hope out of that, it will remind us that when we face discouraging times in our lives, that we too can find hope for our discouragement. So let's break it down here in two ways. First of all, I want to talk to you about the challenges of discouragement. We've all probably faced it before. We've all probably been through times where we became discouraged over situations, over circumstances, over something at work, over people that we're dealing with in our lives that frustrate us and all of these things. And I want you to see three things real quick that Elijah faces from the challenge of discouragement. First of all, Elijah was physically fatigued. You know, we saw in the story how he kept getting sleepy. And I don't know if you've ever been so discouraged that when the alarm went off in the morning, your first thing is to shut off the alarm, cover your head up or whatever, yourself back up with the sheets, and you wanted to just roll over and go back to bed and not face what was going to go on during that day in your world. I've been there before, and I'm sure you have too. We all have faced this. For 3.5 years, Elijah had been going throughout the countryside of Israel, preaching what God had called him to do. He had been facing, as the whole nation was, drought, and the conditions of the hardship of the drought times. And following all of this time that was going on, he was just exhausted and fatigued. And even in the process of running away from where he was, and let me just tell you where that was. He went from several places. He went from where he was to Mount Carmel. That was quite a journey. And then eventually, when he took off from Mount Carmel, he went to Beersheba, and that was 18 miles. So just think about everything that he went. His journey would have probably exhausted even a marathon runner, somebody that was in good shape. And yet he was facing this. And sometimes when we are facing discouragement, the discouragement in our lives and everything, sometimes discouragement comes because we're just worn out. We've been going through so many things, and our body just needs rest. It just needs rest. You know, have you ever heard somebody just say to you before, just listen to what your body is telling you if you push too far and went too far? That's what I want you to see there, first of all. Elijah was also emotionally frazzled. Now, this is what we normally think of with discouragement, is a lot of times we just get to the point where we're like Elijah. I've had enough. I can't take anymore, you know, kind of a thing. I'm sure we've all been there. And when discouragement comes, and here's what I want you to hear. When discouragement comes in our lives, our feelings in the midst of that, our emotions can have the tendency to start to dominate us in those situations. And because of it being discouragement, the emotions are usually negative emotions, negative feelings, negative thinking that begins to go. And Elijah was struggling here. He was struggled with fear. He was struggling with hopelessness because the queen was out to get him. He faced some self-pity, that argument that kept going back and forth. And he kept saying, I've done my best to obey you. And I did all these things you asked me to do. But this is happening. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with God like that before. I've been doing everything you asked me to do, and I'm facing all this in life right now. What's going on? I see the humor in what's happening, even though discouragement is not a humorous time, isn't it? And the frustration. I'm the only one standing for you, God. As I was thinking about that, I started to think how sometimes when we get discouraged and we get fatigued and we get emotionally affected by all of this, it can sometimes lead to a martyr complex where we think we're the only ones left doing the right thing. That was the second thing he faced. And then he was spiritually fractured. Something had happened there. You can hear it in his voice and read it in the story. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. He forgot who was with him, who had just brought him through those great victories and everything that had happened. And I know how that is because I've been there. You've heard me say before, I wish at times that I would always remember what sometimes I preach to you when I'm facing the crises that I'm going through in life. Always remember this, when you belong to Christ, you and I are never alone in any situation. The challenges. So what's the hope in the midst of that? What is the hope and comfort that we can find for those times that we face in our lives and we battle those challenges? Because they come and go, don't they, in our lives. At times we may not face anything for a long time. At another time we may face something real simple. And then at other times we face times where it doesn't go away for a long time. And that's a battle. Well, let me give you four things real quick. First of all, the first step to think about in all of this is recognizing that we are discouraged and we're facing it. Elijah had to come to grips with reality. Let me say something here. Something I've noticed in the last 10, 12 years, people that I'm around, Christians that I'm around, sometimes we deceive ourselves about what is real or not. We believe something so strong that we will fail to see what else is happening in our world. And it's easy to stick our head in the sand and say it's not going on, or we know it's happening, but still we believe this and almost deceive ourselves in the process. A shipwrecked man prayed to God to save him. A boat approaches, but the man says, "Ah, go on by, save somebody else. God will take care of me." The boat leaves. A helicopter arrives. And the man sends him on the way, saying God will send him. The man dies of exposure. When he gets to heaven, he complains to God for not sending or saving him. And God says, "I sent a man in a boat, and I sent a man in a helicopter, but you sent them away." And I think that little story tells the importance of we not being deceived by what we're facing in life. And part of dealing with and regaining hope in the midst of our discouragement, and comfort in the midst of our discouragement, and healing, so to speak, in the midst of our discouragement, is facing the reality of what we're going through. Second thing then is releasing the negatives. Releasing the negatives. Remember what I said earlier about when we're going through these kind of things, I talked about how negative emotions, negative feelings can have a way of taking hold and becoming prevalent in our minds when we're discouraged. And one of the things that can happen is those negative feelings and thinking and emotions tend to build up in our lives to the point where they rob us of our joy and dampen our spirit to where it affects our faith in trusting God in the midst of what we're going through. And what we must do is we must release those things. Whether you go talk to a counselor, whether you go talk to a friend, or talk to God or whatever, we got to release it. You know, there's in the middle of COVID, I'm going to kind of share this a little bit, but in the middle of COVID, when we were cooped up for like 2 weeks, and I finally told Jody, I said, "I can't take this anymore. I'm getting in the car and I'm going to drive and I'm going to turn the music on real loud and I'm going to have a talk with God about all this." Because I had, it just, stuff was penting up inside of me in the midst of everything that was going on. And so that's what I did. I just took a drive. And it helped me. It helped me in that situation. And I think those are some of the things we got to get that, release that stuff out of us and get rid of it in our lives and not hold on to it anymore. Because if we're not careful, those negative feelings and that negativeness can build up to where resentment and bitterness starts to catch in. And then we struggle. The third then, and this is important that we do this after releasing the negative, is refreshing ourselves. There are places in Scripture that talk about how we must refresh ourselves. And one of the ways that helps me to refresh myself is getting around and being with other people. How important that is. Because listen, discouragement works its best in isolation. And you know what? I found this to be so true. And I'm like, Lord, help us. I don't know how many people in the churches I pastored, when they get discouraged, what is the first thing they stop doing? They stop coming to church and they're off on their own and they're sitting at home and their mind's whirling and all that negative and bitter and everything else is just swirling around. And that's where discouragement just thrives in the midst of that. But Elisha was refreshed, and I think that's why God kept bugging. I don't know if you noticed in the story, he kept asking Elijah, "Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you at this place that you're at right now? What are you doing?" And I think the point was, is God was trying to get Elijah to see, I'm not done with you yet. What are you doing hiding out in this cave all by yourself and having a pity party? And so Elijah was refreshed when he followed God's instructions. He ate, he rested, and then he went off. There's other places in the Psalms where the psalmist talks about refreshing themselves when they worship with others. The scripture passage from Psalm 42, which is our lectionary psalm for today, talked about how he was going to hope in God again by getting together with God's people and giving thanks in the midst of everything that was going on. And sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. I remember hearing this old expression when I was in college and seminary that they would teach, try to ingrain in us as pastors, is you have to learn to refresh yourself in the Lord. You got to get alone with God and talk to God and you know, release those things and be encouraged in the Lord. And that happens also when we gather together. And then the last step there is returning to service. Here's the most important thing. That's why Elijah, God kept nagging, if I could use that term, nagging on Elijah. What are you doing here? I have something for you to do. And we can see God still had work for Elijah to do. And guess what? God still has work for us to do. And when we're discouraged and we hide out at home alone, we miss what God has for us to do. God told Elijah to go down there and anoint Hazael and to anoint Jehu, who's going to replace Ahab, because Ahab refused to turn away from those foreign gods and goddesses. And God said, you're going to do this, and then I got something else for you to do. And that is, you're going to anoint and train your replacer. Because Elijah was getting old by this time, and Elisha was going to be the one that follow. Let me tell you something. God sees and hears. God knows our fatigue. God knows our frazzle. God knows our fractures that happen in our lives. And God invites us to face the reality of our discouragement, release those negative feelings, refresh ourselves, and return to service. You know, I was thinking of the words of that hymn this week in the garden. Think about these words as I share them with you. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I was thinking about that. Did the birds hush their singing? I don't think so. You know what I think happened? The person became so in tune with the Lord that he heard and nothing else except what the Lord was trying to say to him. And that's what gave that ringing melody within his heart. And then we know it, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Look at those encouraging words that the hymn writer receives. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. There's hope for discouragement this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment and greet one another and share the blessing of the Lord. And then we'll close out with our little chorus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
You got your golf glove in there? That's all right. You're going to need it anyways. You can wear it. Wear either one.
Well, yeah, I like both of them.
What?
I like both of them.
What's that? No, who asked that when you get out there? Just bring your own hat today. And if he has it, then, well, yeah, you want to protect your head from the sun and your forehead.
Is that what you said?
Doesn't matter. You got your shirt on. So go ahead. Let's stand together, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We'll sing it through twice.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord.
Well, let's join together for our benediction. God calls us to live each day in grace.
We walk by faith in the grace of God.
Go. Know the grace of God goes with you, and be assured there is grace for every day. Amen. Amen.